Okay, anyway, welcome. So thankful that you're here this morning at Journey Church. And I want to let you know today we are in week four of our current series that we're calling The One That Jesus Loves. And it's based on the book called The One That Jesus Loves by Robert Crosby. Just want to let you know, great thoughts in that book that I've taken and made them mine so that I can share them with some of the most wonderful people in River Falls, right? That's you, okay? So I just want to let you know that comes from that book. If you're looking for a good read, that is a great read. It's a read that I would call about discipleship, taking you to your next level in Christ. And what we're doing in this series is we're simply looking at this. We're looking at six circles. Yes, don't try to count them. There are six circles there this morning. And those are the six circles of relationship that surrounded Jesus while he was on earth, okay? We know he lived for 30 years, and about in that 30th year, he went into full-time ministry, where he was in ministry for about a little over 3 years. And we're looking at the six circles of relationship that surrounded Jesus when he was doing his ministry. And what we're going to see in this journey, and we're seeing already, that each circle takes us a step closer in our journey towards Jesus. Jesus is at the center of the circle. So up to this point, we've looked at three circles. Circle number one was a couple weeks ago. It's there somewhere, but it's not here. There we go. Let me back up. I got ahead of myself. The first circle was the crowds. How many people were here for that message? The crowds, okay? The crowds are basically, we need to know, that are tens and tens and thousands of people. I mean, everybody wanted to be by Jesus. The crowds represent people who wanted to come and watch. They wanted to come and listen. They heard that, wow, you need to come and see Jesus. He's amazing, performing signs, wonders, miracles. Everyone wanted to see. They wanted to hear his teachings. He taught with such power. He taught with such authority. It was amazing. And it was from the crowds, that outer circle, it was from the crowds that people got their very first glimpse of Jesus, okay? I want you to hear that. They got their first glimpse of Jesus. I believe that we all begin our journey with Jesus in the crowds. That's where we get our first glimpse of who is this Jesus. And as I said in week one, the crowd is a great place to start your journey, but it's not a good place to stay. Does everybody understand that? The crowd is not a good place to stay. Why? Because there's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more beauty and power and wonder of who Jesus is. So you don't want to stay in the crowds, okay? By the way, I just want to give you just a little commercial here. This Tuesday night, we're going to be having a board meeting. And what I did is I gave our board members an assignment. And my assignment was to list three things that you feel like we as a church do well, okay? So I said, hey, don't worry, there's no wrong answers. I just want your opinion. What are three things that we as a church do well? And so I started doing my homework for this meeting. And here's one of the things I think that we do well is we're very good at drawing a crowd on Wednesday nights. We are good at a crowd on Wednesday nights, okay? Why are we good at a crowd? We go pick people up on buses. We pick kids up in vans. And we even feed these kids right here at the church. And I'm here to report that today, last Wednesday night, we had 75 kids here at church. Isn't that amazing? 75 kids. And here's the danger of what's going to happen at this church. They're going to outgrow Sunday morning, okay? So you guys need to start inviting more people. But anyway, there's 75 kids that are coming, and we could get all excited about that. And there's a lot to be excited about. But here's the thing I'm concerned. My concern, if I go back to this, is that those kids stay on the outer circle. Does that make sense? And that's not our intention, for those kids to stay in the crowd. But our intention is for those kids actually to move to the center of the circle. And that's my intention for you. That you don't just stay in the crowds, where everybody's just hanging out, looking and listening. But each and every day, you're drawing closer and closer to Jesus. So on Wednesday night, this is what it looked like. At the end of the night, we put the kids in the van, and probably more than we should put in the van. And the van is very loud. It's very boisterous. There's comical things that kids say. And it was just one of those nights where there was just a lot of energy. And finally, I came to the last stop, and everybody said, hallelujah. I mean, the angels were breaking out in the hallelujah chorus. I got them out of the van. I said, have a good night. We'll see you next week, okay? And then I just sat in the van, and it was so quiet. You teachers know what it means, like at the end of the day. It's just like, oh, I love kids, but have a great evening. That's the way I was. But my prayer was this. As I pulled away from the last stop, I said, Lord, it's not enough for us to just focus on the crowd. Amen? It's not enough for those kids just to come and just to listen and hear. That's great. We want them. I want more. My goal was 80, and we're going to blow that away, by the way. But my goal is that we are drawing those kids closer. I want to make sure those kids have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? So if you're ever wondering, how can I pray for our church? Pray for Wednesday night crowd that these kids will come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because how many people know these kids need hope, just like we need hope? And how many people know hope has a name, and his name is what? Everybody together, Jesus. Man, you ought to see the homes these kids are from, and we need to provide them with hope with Jesus. So that was the first step, our first circle. Our second circle we looked at a couple weeks ago was the 5,000. And the 5,000 represents those who followed Jesus to places where they were fed and where they received healing. And we discovered this that morning, that we can have a relationship where we can bring all of our needs to Jesus. How many people know that Jesus is okay with you bringing your needs to him? Amen? There's no need too big. There's no need too small. But Jesus wants you to bring all your needs to him. One more commercial, and I promise this will be the last commercial this morning. That's why at the end of each and every service, we're going to have prayer teams. That means if you come in here and you have a prayer request, you have a need, don't leave without receiving prayer. We're going to have people up front even at the end of the service today. I'm not sure who they're going to be yet because our prayer team is all gone this morning. So some people are going to step up, but here's the deal. This should be a place where you can come and bring your prayer request to the Lord. Amen? You don't have to leave the same way you came. There'll be people who pray for you, and that represents the 5,000. Last week, we looked at the 70. The 70, by the way, was my favorite message, of course, until today. And the 70 represents those people who move from, listen to this, people that move from observation to participation. They move from just observing, and now they realize it's time for me to step up, get involved, get out of the stands, get off the sidelines. It's time for me to get into the game, okay? Some thoughts real quick that I didn't mention last week. This is where life gets exciting. This is where your life gets full of adventure, when you get on Team Jesus and you say, hey, you can count me in. I want to be a part of what you're doing, okay? This is where you go from just simply existing day by day. And this is where you kind of start making a difference. Why? Not because of who you are, but because of who he is in you, Jesus. Amen? So it's real exciting. This is where you begin to discover your purpose, your meaning, your significance. Why? Because we discover that life's not all about us, but life is about something much greater, and that is Jesus. That's his kingdom, and we get to be a part of what God's doing. So if your life is in a lull right now, maybe you're boring, I want to say, hey, get into the 70 and get engaged with what God's doing. He wants to use you in a big time way. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the 12, okay? And everyone knows the 12 represents who? Anybody have a clue? Everybody say it together. By the way, how many people have seen that picture of the 12 disciples before? Raise your hand. Isn't that amazing? How many people had that on your wallet when you were growing up? We did. I can't believe that's probably the most popular picture of the 12, that painting. And so that represents the 12 disciples, okay? And the 12 disciples represents in this journey towards Jesus those who are walking with Jesus to places where they're leaving everything behind. Don't worry, don't get nervous yet. And they're, listen to the word I'm going to use here, they're following. And that's the word we're going to dwell on this morning. They're going to follow Jesus wherever he goes. So what we're going to do, if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to find your Bible. Find a Bible in the pew rack. Look to the screen ahead of me. But we're looking to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 19. And we're going to look at who made up this hand-picked group that we call the disciples. Okay? So let's take a look at the text, Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19. So Mark, he's giving his account of how he saw the life of Jesus, okay? It says, afterwards, Jesus went up on a mountain, and he called out the ones he wanted to be with him. And here's what happened. They came. Verse 14, he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. We can call them disciples also. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach. And look at verse 15, giving them authority. By the way, how many people know that Jesus has all authority? Come on now. How many people know that Jesus has all the authority? And what he does is he gives it away. When we say we're going to be involved, he says, okay, here's some of the authority. Use it for me. And he gave them the authority to do what? To cast out demons. Verse 16, these are the 12 he chose. Simon, whom he also called Peter. James and John, also known as the sons of Zebedee. But Jesus nicknamed them the sons of thunder. I think that's funny that Jesus is giving nicknames to the guys. Hey, you guys are the sons of thunder, okay? How many people would like to receive a nickname from Jesus? Hey, you're the son of thunder. You're the lady of power, okay? Then there was Andrew, and there was Philip, there was Bartholomew, there was Matthew, there was Thomas, there was James, the son of Alphaeus, there was Thaddeus Young, there was Simon the Zealot. I like that, the Zealot. And there was Judas Iscariot, and you don't want to be in that boat, who would later betray him. Okay, so these are the 12 that we know today as the 12, what? Disciples, okay? Here's something interesting that I didn't know, and I'm embarrassed to confess this today. I used to think before this week that Jesus always started his ministry. He started his ministry by picking the 12. Did anybody else ever think that way? That he picked them right away. But I discovered this week through reading that it probably wasn't until about halfway through the 3 years of his ministry, it wasn't until then that Jesus probably went and looked for the 12. And it really makes a lot of sense because I think he's realizing, hey, I only have a year and a half to go, and the plan is I'm going to die on the cross, and the plan is that I'm going to be resurrected, and the plan is I'm going to ascend back to heaven. And where I am today at the right hand of God the Father, and here's the plan, somebody's going to have to carry on the mission. So I better get some guys. I better get some teammates that are going to carry the ball across the goal line. Because how many people know that God works through people? Amen? How many people know that God works through people? Amen. So he's going to work through the 12 to carry on the mission, to spread the gospel throughout the ends of the earth. So these are the 12 that made up the disciples to carry things on. So here's my question. Why did Jesus draw these 12 guys closer to him? What was the whole point? Was it a call to leadership? In our culture today, we would say Jesus called the 12 to be great leaders. He needed some men that would lead and step it up and show their influence for the kingdom of God. But here's the thing I discovered this week. It wasn't a call to leadership as much as it was a call to follow. And we don't like that today. We don't like to be followers. We don't want our kids to be, hey, my son's a great follower. We want our kids to be what? Great leaders. And here we have Jesus about midway of his ministry. He's calling not leaders. He's calling out to the crowds. He's calling for people to do what? To follow. You're going to follow after me, okay? So let me show you a few scriptures that validate what I'm saying here. The call to follow. Jesus in Matthew 4:18, he calls Peter and Andrew. He says, hey, Peter and Andrew, let's read this together. Three words, everybody. Come, follow me. So it's a call to follow. Here's another one. Matthew 9:9 says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. This guy was raking in the bucks, okay, was ripping people off. Bad guy. Not the guy we would think that Jesus would call the good church boy. The opposite. And he says, follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and everybody said, and he followed him. I love that. He followed him. He left everything behind. Here's a couple more. Let's look at these. Jesus said, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor that you may have treasures in heaven. Then Jesus says, then come everyone together, follow me. So we're getting the call idea. It's a call to follow. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they what? Everybody together, follow me. It's not about leadership. It's about following. Here's another one. Whoever serves me must, everybody, follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. One last, and actually that was the last one. I got ahead of myself. I was so excited, okay? So I want everybody to hear this. The call of Jesus to these disciples wasn't, hey, you come and you be a great leader. You're going to be the cream of the crop. Everybody's going to look to you for leadership. No, the call to the 12 is, hey, you guys, this is what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. And I love these words from Leonard Sweet. He's a American theologian, pastor, author. Look at these words. He says, we have been told our entire lives that we should be leaders, that we need more leaders, leaders, leaders. But he says this, but the truth is, the greatest way to create a movement is to be a what? Follower, and to show others how to follow. And he concludes by saying, following is the most underrated form of leadership in existence. I find that very, very interesting, this whole idea that we are called to follow, okay? So that's the call for us. As we enter this fourth circle closer to Christ, and we're wanting to get more and more intimate with Jesus and closer to Jesus, we need to follow. And I want to let you know we're calling you to follow Jesus. We're not calling you to follow someone else. We're calling you to follow Jesus because be sure the one you're following knows where they're going, amen? And make sure they're worth following. And I want to let you know these guys understood that Jesus is worth following. Jesus is the one worth leaving everything behind and following after him. And this is exactly what the 12 disciples did. And as a result, many of them left their lives as they knew them up to this point in time. They left everything. I mean, think about it. They left their vocations. Many of them were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector, very affluent, or very wealthy, okay? So they left their vocations, they left their homes, they left comfort, they left their friends, they left their families. Why? So they could follow Jesus and be a part of what he was up to. See, what they understood and what they had a revelation of is, hey, to follow Jesus, my life is going to be better than if I just do it my way. So they counted the cost, like we need to do. We need to count the cost. And see, many times we get excited about, well, my life, I got this great plan for my life. I got all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. I know exactly what I want out of life. Well, hey, you're probably not going to be the one to follow Jesus. The people who follow Jesus are people who have a revelation that, man, my life is not going to be easier, but it's going to be better if I follow after Jesus. See, we have sold people on easy Christianity. It's not easy. It's difficult. It's challenging. But something has to happen in us when we realize, hey, I would be crazy not to follow the one who gives me eternal life, the one who wants to change the world, the one who wants to call me to follow him. So they gave up everything. I think Matthew's the greatest example. I mean, he had wealth upon wealth, influence, but he was hated by people. And Jesus says, hey, Matthew, follow me. And he leaves his tax collecting booth. I mean, he just shuts up the booth. It's like he's shutting his business doors on that day because Jesus had walked by and said, follow me. So here's the question of the morning. We got to put this into our lives, into our culture. Here we sit. What year is it? 2018. How many people know the Bible is a relevant book? Amen? So the question that we need to ask ourselves today is this. What does it mean for me to follow Jesus? I need to ask that of myself. You need to ask that of yourself. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, first let me say that not everyone who follows Jesus is called to leave everything behind. I just want to let you know that not everybody's going to be called to leave everything behind. Yes, there are some people. Yes, there are some people that they leave everything behind to follow him. But that's not going to be the case with every single person. How many people know God does things different in each and every individual life? Amen? He does things different. So what I want you to know, it's not going to look the same for you. You following Jesus isn't going to look the same as it does for me. And me following Jesus isn't going to look the same as you following Jesus. It's going to look different, but it's going to be very unique. It's going to fit us, okay? But here's the thing about following Jesus. It's really a priority of making Jesus number one in our lives. At the end of the day, that's what following Jesus is all about. I want you to hear this loud and clear. I'm going to be very brief this morning. The number one call to follow Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to make Jesus the number one priority in my life. That's what following is all about. And what that's going to mean is there's going to be some things that I'm going to have to leave behind in order to make sure that he's number one, and it's going to look different for everyone. So following Jesus, I just want to share three quick things, and we'll be done, what it looks like. It may mean leaving your own plans for the future and following his plan, whatever it may be. That's it. Leaving your plan for the future and following his plan. And you know, that's not going to be the same for everyone. I think some of you are afraid, well, he's going to call me to leave my work world, and how am I going to support my... No, this may not be for you. Has everybody got that this morning? This may not be for you. But I think of a young lady that we had as a missionary just a few months ago. How many people remember the young girl, Jarell? She's going to Zanzibar. Her church goes on this missions trip to, I forget where they went, and while she was on that missions trip, she felt God beginning to call her. And she had a great job here in St. Paul. She had a great job. She had a great career. But the call for her was to leave that career behind. And she really felt a tug on her heart. To follow Jesus means this for me. I need to go to Zanzibar. And I need to tell those people about Jesus. Because without me telling, they'll never know. And I want to let you know there's going to be times where God calls you from your own plans. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the story of men who were very affluent in their business, strong in their business, things were going great. They had an encounter with Jesus, and as a result of their encounter with Jesus, they left the business world behind and went into ministry. But that's not going to be for everyone, but the whole thing is we got to keep our ears open, our hearts open. What is it? What does it look like for you to follow Jesus? For some people, you're going to say, hey, this was my plan, but God, do you have a bigger plan for my life? And I want to let you know, at the end of your life, you'll be more satisfied by following God's plan than your plan. And I want to let you know the things of God are so wonderful, so beautiful, and you may be afraid and say, God, I can't do that. If I do that, you're going to call me to Africa, to the worst place in all the world. You're going to call me to the darkest places, to the most challenging places. And you say, well, I want to let you know this. If he calls you there, he's going to give you such joy. Amen? And you're going to be so happy that you've been there. It's not going to be this awful thing, it's going to be a beautiful thing. But there's times where following Jesus means leaving your plans for the future and saying, Lord, what's your plans? How many people are bold enough to pray this prayer? Lord, what's your plans for my life? I think about that for me. I've been here for, 18 years? Lord, how much longer do you want me to be at River Falls? And then I can think in the flesh, you know, I kind of like this city. This place is growing on me. I'm kind of enjoying it here. It's a pretty good place. It's a safe place. We got a lot of things to be thankful for here, but there comes a time where you say, Lord, what's your plan? I want to follow you. Lord, what's your plan for my life? Because at the end, I'm going to show you something that might surprise you, but I don't want to jump ahead. Following Jesus may mean this, leaving people or practices in your life that are drawing you away from God so that you can follow those things that would bring you closer to God. I really think that this one fits all of us this morning personally, that the call of Jesus is there are going to be people, there's going to be practices in your life, and you know that they're drawing you away from God. You know when you're with those people or when you're doing those things, you're not getting closer to God, but you're getting further away. And the call to follow me may mean that I'm going to have to leave some people behind. And I know that's really hard, and sometimes it can be very lonely. But for some of us, there's some people in your life, and you know who these people are that you have this desire to get closer to God, but you know that when you spend time with those people, what are they doing? They're drawing you away. They're drawing you away. And Jesus is saying, hey, I want to draw you closer. I got so much more for you. If you could just see and understand how much I have for you, you would be amazed. And some of us, the thing that's holding us back are the people that we hang out with. I remember when Heather and I were dating, and there was a certain guy in my life, a certain friend that when I would hang out with, his spirit would get all over my spirit, and I would start to get nasty, and I wasn't as pleasant as usual. And she would tell me at the end of the night, she'd say, I bet you were spending time with, and she would say the name, and I'd be like, oh, you're right, I was. And I think that's true of all of us. Are there people in our lives that they're just pulling you away from God? And I'm not suggesting you go up to them and saying, hey, we will never talk again, I'm going to get close to God. I don't need you in my life. Well, that's not, use some tact, use some grace, use some love. But there's some people you just need to say, hey, we're just not going to, you don't even have to make the announcement, just in your head saying, we're just not going to spend as much time as we used to spend together. Because I feel like Jesus is calling me closer. And I need to hang out with people that when I spend time with them, I feel like we're getting closer together, closer to God. And there's some practices in our lives. And I'm not here to give you a list, because your list may be totally different than my list. But are there some practices in your life that you know that aren't drawing you closer to God, but they're drawing you further away? And I want to challenge you today, if you know there's a certain practice and you know it's keeping you from God, you got to cut it and you got to get it out of your life. And you're going to find out it's going to be for your good. And it's going to be for the good of the kingdom of God and for the good of others. Amen? So I don't want to be in your face today. I'm not here to say this is my agenda. You need to follow my agenda. You need to do it Mike's way. Listen, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm just a servant of Jesus. Amen? And what is it in your life? Is there a person or is there a practice that's drawing you away that you may need to say, hey, I'm done? It may be a TV show. I don't know why I said that. It just came to my mind, a TV show. Every time you watch it, you're seeing all these negative things that you really shouldn't see. Does anybody know what I'm talking? You guys are looking at me like, what world do you live in? The same one you live in. And I just want to challenge you today. I really believe that God's Spirit's at work here, and sometimes that Spirit is coming and revealing, but sometimes there's conviction. And I really believe there's some conviction here in this house today. And you know the things that maybe you're dating the wrong guy. Maybe you're dating the wrong girl. By the way, don't use this. If you're in marriage, it's too late, okay? I told you, you're drawing me away from Jesus. I'm moving on. No, that's not how we work here. You got to work through it, amen? Hey, Bubba, you passed that deadline already, okay? So some of you are, I'm not letting you off the hook. Sweetie, I love you so much, but you're not good for me and Jesus. No, that's not how it works, okay? Oh, Lord, help us. Last one. Following Jesus may mean leaving the fear. Has anybody ever had fear in their walk wanting to get closer to Jesus? I have. Leaving the fears that are holding us back in our walk with Jesus and follow in the bolder steps towards which faith is calling us. Some of us just need to leave those fears behind. Some of us, you have the fear of rejection. What if I really buy into this Jesus thing? What if I give 100%? What if I'm all in, the nesty plunge? People are going to reject me. Well, I want to let you know they rejected Jesus. You're in good company. Amen? You're in great company. Some of you are saying, well, if I have the fear that I'm going to be all out there alone. I'm going to be standing on a limb by myself, no other friends. Well, I want to let you know God's grace and his presence will be sufficient. So what is it in your life? Is there a fear that's holding you back to follow Jesus? I want to just say, maybe come to prayer and say, Lord, I give that fear to you. I give that fear to you. Maybe you fear you're not going to be able to make it. I want to let you know he'll help you make it. I just want to encourage you today with these things, because here's what I want to say in closing this morning. Or first of all, let me ask you the question. Have you stepped into this circle, this fourth circle? Have you stepped into this fourth circle of following Jesus? What circle are you in today? Have you stepped into the fourth circle where you're saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. Because I want to confess to you, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been a Christian since I was in fifth grade. I've told you the story hundreds of times. I won't give you the details again. I've been a Christian since fifth grade. That's a long way from 54 years old. But I want to let you know this, and I want you to listen very carefully. I have not always been a follower of Jesus. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? What do I mean? I know since fifth grade when I gave my heart to Jesus that my sins were forgiven. I knew my inheritance was in heaven. I knew that the day I died, I was going to go and be with Jesus. I just had that assurance in my heart. But I'm embarrassed to tell you today, I haven't always been following Jesus my whole life and doing the three things that I just mentioned here earlier. Here's kind of what my life's looked like most of the time I've been a Christian. Can I illustrate what my life has looked like most of the time I've been a Christian? For the sake of this illustration, Nolan's going to play Jesus. So can we give it up for Jesus today? So Jesus, stand up, and for the sake, see, I'm telling Jesus what to do. What's going on with this whole scenario? But here's the deal. I'll play my own self. I'll play Mike Bechtold, okay? For most of my life as a Christian, it's looked like this. Jesus, follow me. Jesus, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus, follow me. Yes, thank you for salvation. Thank you for all the things you do for me, Jesus, but Jesus, follow me into my day. Follow me to do what I want you to do for me. But how many people know this is what God is calling me to do? Stay, Jesus. Actually, go, Jesus. This here, by the way, this is what Jesus wants me to do. He wants me to follow him. You can be seated. Let's give it up for Jesus this morning. Here's all I want to say. How many people, can you see the difference? Can you see the difference? Jesus, follow me. Follow me into the career that I chose. Follow me into all the things I want to do. Follow me into even some of my sinful habits, my sinful behaviors. Jesus, you follow me. By the way, thank you for being in my life. You've been so good to me. Thank you, Jesus, for all your beauty, all your gifts. Jesus, you follow me. And I tell you what, this message, if no one else gets anything out of this message this week, I am so thankful that I preached this message this week, because how many people know this message has been good for me? Because I'm hearing Jesus saying, hey, Mike, like he's behind me saying, hey, here I am, tapping on my shoulder. And the call is, Jesus is saying, hey, Mike, you got this all backwards. The call is, follow me. Follow me. Follow me even when you don't like it. Follow me when it's not popular with the culture. Follow me when it's difficult. Follow me when it's challenging. Follow me even if it means you have to leave some things behind so that you can go forward. Follow me. And I think that the Lord's not only talking to me this week, he's talking to several of us today. That right now your relationship with Jesus is all about, hey, Jesus, you follow me, make my life easy, go with me these places, thanks for all. And Jesus saying, hey, you guys got the wagon ahead of the horse. The whole deal is Jesus saying, come and follow me. Come and follow me. You be first in my life. Follow me. That's the call. Amen? So let me just do this real quick. What circle are you in? Hanging out in the crowd? Hanging out with the 5,000? Hanging out with the 70? By the way, the 70 is a great place to be. All these are great places to be. But have you taken your step to that fourth circle closer to Jesus? Have you taken that step where you're following Jesus? I think we as Christians need to be careful. We sing along a lot of songs in church without really listening to the lyrics. How many people remember that song by Chris Tomlin? We sang it, we've sung it here several times. Where you go, I'll go, right? Where you stay, I'll stay. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. Who you serve, I'll serve. And we're singing these songs, I'll follow you. And sometimes I wonder if God chuckles. You think God chuckles sometime? Or maybe he's hurt, I don't know, hurt. But today I think the call is just, I want you to, we're not going to ask for a response today. I just want you to think throughout the rest of the week, the weekend. Am I asking Jesus to follow me or am I following him? Am I doing what I want to do or am I doing what he wants me to do? Is it my agenda or am I living by his agenda? And that's my challenge to you this week, just to take time to think about that. Amen? So can we bow our heads? Father, thank you for our time together today. Lord, I confess my own sins before you this morning, Father, the times where it's been about me and you've been in the back seat while I drive the car. But Lord, I want to change spots with you today and I want you to drive the car and me to get in the back seat. And Lord, you to take me where you want me to go and act the way you want me to act and behave the way you want me to behave and talk and think those ways. So Lord, today I just want to move to the back and have you take your place at the steering wheel of my life. God, I just pray that you'd be at work in this place, in our church. But more importantly, God, I just pray that you'd be at work in each individual life. Each individual. Lord, we can't even look to our spouse today or our kids. We look inward to ourselves today. And Lord, we ask ourselves, who's following who? And Lord, we just thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.